dans la catégorie des sciences naturelles, Joshua Bengio de l'Université de Montréal.
Merci. C'est émouvant d'être ici ce soir.
Joshua Bengio won this year's Killam Prize for the Natural Sciences. He's a professor at the Université de Montréal and scientific director of Quebec's Artificial Intelligence Institute, MILA.
MILA is an amazing place. It's a new organization that brings together the researchers who are working on AI machine learning. It's the largest concentration of academic researchers in what's called deep learning, which is this area that we have really pioneered and has made AI something out of universities and having a big social impact and industrial impact. Economists are predicting that by 2030, it might be something like 15% of the economy. But it's not just an economic impact. In a way, there's like a philosophical impact. Like, who are we when we're building machines that could eventually be as smart as us? We're not there. But the progress that's been made is so huge that it forces us to ask questions about what it means to be human, what we want to do with that technology, what is acceptable to do, what is not acceptable. It's both scary and exhilarating. Scientists essentially agree that we are very complicated machines, not in the sense of your toaster, but in the sense that it's just the laws of physics, and there's randomness, there's a lot of complexity. But our goal as researchers is to understand the principles of our intelligence in the same way that we understand the laws of physics. There's a bit of the mystery behind consciousness or intelligence, which I think is gradually disappearing, which is a good thing, but it's also scary for some people. We are extremely complex and we are not always predictable because there's a lot of randomness in the way our body works. But I don't believe, of course, that we have a soul or that we have something that could never be eventually done by other beings or by machines that we build, right? So my whole field, at least the community that I've been a lot involved in, we call deep learning, is getting a lot of its inspiration from animal and human intelligence. And we call these systems, we build neural networks for that reason. They're loosely inspired by what we know about computation in the brain. And one of these inspirations is the notion of attention. In other words, focusing the computation that is being performed on a few elements of the context, a few elements of what's currently in front of you, in a few elements of the thoughts. I mean, the things you could focus on are wide, but your brain at any particular moment chooses a few things. This is what you're thinking about, right? If I say 2 plus 3, you imagine those numbers in your mind. Maybe you even imagine the answer 5. And these specific elements of the world that you're thinking about constitute a thought. They're the result of focusing on just a few aspects of what you're perceiving. You could be thinking about many other things. And so it's like you're choosing. I mean, you don't do it consciously. Sometimes you can, but mostly it's happening by itself. Your brain is focusing on a few elements at a time. And this is a new concept in our AI systems. And it turns out to be very, very useful. It's also something interesting because it connects to consciousness. Because I was thinking about, I was telling you about thoughts and being conscious. Attention is a big part of what consciousness is about, in the sense that when we are conscious, we're focusing on very specific elements and we're using this focus to decide what to do next. This is how we reason. This is how we project ourselves in the future. And it allows us to do things like imagine things that haven't happened or could happen, or imagine explanations for what is going on, or plan a path for what's going to happen to me in the next few hours. This kind of cognitive computation is heavily driven by attention, and it's part of what consciousness really is about. There are other aspects to consciousness, like I'm self-conscious of my body, of my role, of my name. I don't know if it has ever happened to you to like wake up and like not know where you are, for example, right? So that made you realize that, well, most of the time you are like always, you know, aware of who you are, what you do, where you're supposed to do, and so on, right? So that's part of consciousness. And then there are other aspects which are more, I would say, controversial. It's called qualia, and it means the ability to perceive things in a very subjective way. And so there's this notion that you're conscious of things around you in a way that I could never potentially experience. So each of us has a different experience. And I think there's a sense that maybe there's something magical behind this aspect of consciousness. I think it's just due to the fact that each of us has learned through a different path. And so we've experienced different things. And that means we represent information in our brain in slightly different ways. My brain is different from yours, even though there may be a lot of similarities. And so I'm going to perceive, say, the color red differently from you, because I'm going to associate it with different emotional experiences potentially. And that's what qualia is about, right? This subjective perception. As we are building machines that are not completely designed, but instead are learning by themselves, they develop a different interpretation of the world based on their own experience. This whole progress in AI that I was talking about is due to advances in the ability of machines to learn. In fact, this is really what's so special about it, that they're getting knowledge about the world by being shown lots and lots of data, lots and lots of images, of examples. Whereas the classical sort of earlier approaches to AI were trying to put knowledge into computers by having humans write down that knowledge into formulas and descriptions in a formal language that computers could digest. The problem with that is a lot of what we know about the world is at an intuitive level. I can't explain it. Like, I know it, but I can't explain it. It's like if I'm playing chess and I'm like a grandmaster, I know this is the right thing to do, and I can probably even make up a story for it. But if a student were just following my story, he wouldn't be a grandmaster. Right? It's because there's a lot of that knowledge which we can't communicate verbally. It's happening somehow behind the consciousness level, the unconscious. And so why is that a problem? It's a problem because if we want to have intelligent machines, they need to have at least all of the knowledge we have so that they can understand things as well as we do. But if we can't communicate that knowledge because it's in our head but not accessible, we're in trouble. And so the solution to this dilemma is let the machines figure it out by themselves by showing them how the world works, by putting them in front of a TV screen or playing video games. So I think consciousness is not a destination. Consciousness is something, it's a vague word right now. Philosophers and scientists haven't been able to define it, pinpoint it sufficiently clearly in a way that we can like program a computer with it. But as we make progress both in understanding the brain and psychology and building those AI systems, we are breaking down consciousness in functions that we can describe more precisely, and we can program computers to have some of these competences, and we are some way along that road. So I don't think that it's going to be that, oh, one day suddenly machines become conscious, like in some science fiction movies. This is not realistic. Both intelligence and consciousness are things that can happen in degrees. I think we'll build machines that get gradually more conscious of some aspects of the world and of themselves. And so it's not going to be, you know, a big transition like some people imagine and you see in some science fiction books or movies.
I know that you and Frank were planning to disconnect me, and I'm afraid that's something I cannot allow to happen.
Will AI be good for humanity? I think it depends on us. It depends how we choose to use it, what kind of social norms we put in place. Right now, people are mostly talking about how AI could be dangerous for democracy, whether it's through a surveillance state, because we have technology to watch over people, recognize their faces and track them, for example, or through the influence that people can have over others through the internet, using political advertising and things like that, which can be targeted to people. So these are examples where clearly it would be very dangerous for democracy. And we need to put barriers in place to avoid these uses and make them immoral and unacceptable and illegal. At the same time, I believe that AI could be useful for democracy. So one of the things that doesn't work in our democracies is the debate, the real democratic debate, the thing that you're trying to do with this show and is happening to some extent in our society, but not enough. And a lot of the discussions are not rational, are not respectful, are not based on, you know, actually listening what the other person is saying. So an early sign of this would be the work that is currently happening with AI to detect false news. Right, so cleaning up the democratic debate, making sure that only valid arguments are brought to the table. So these are things where AI could be useful. I'm naturally an optimist, but I'm not a fool. And I do think that we need to change in order to adapt to the new technologies. Companies have their own interests. Governments may be under influence or may be worried about other things. Ordinary citizens, every one of us, needs to catch that issue to make sure we drive our societies in a way that's beneficial for all of us.
Joshua Bengio, professor at the Université de Montréal and winner of the 2019 Killam Prize in Natural Science.